wanted to cough that entire time. It's good. If you would, in your Bibles, turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14. I'm going to finish the lesson that we began during Vacation Bible School. A lot of y'all were here, some of you weren't, but the review will be easy. And it's a familiar subject to most of us who've been Christians very long, and for those who haven't, then this will be a good start to be reminded of what happens when we get saved and what we should be as a Christian. And of course, can I just say from the very onset that Christianity is not a religion. It's not a set of rules. Christianity is a relationship. It's a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what the Lord desires of each of us, that we have a relationship, a personal relationship with Him, that we walk daily with Him, that we pray and we read our Bibles and we get to know Him. And so we've been covering that, getting to know Him on Wednesday night as far as studying the attributes of God. In Luke chapter 14, look with me in verse 25. Luke chapter 14, verse 20. I'm not going to read the whole thing this time, but just touch on a few points here. And there went a great multitude with Him, and He turned and said unto them, Luke 14, verse 25. Verse 26, if any man come to Me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sister, yea, and his own life, also he cannot be My disciple. And we covered that last time. Again, it's about that our love for Jesus should be so strong and our love for Jesus should be so great that in comparison, our love for our family should seem as hate. Because God, that we should love God so much more, so much more. And as we go along in our Christianity, in our Christian life, we see that. Verse 27, kind of the text verse tonight. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after Me cannot be My disciple. Cannot be My disciple. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You tonight again for Your love. We appreciate and thank You for that You answer prayer. We pray for those many tonight who need You and just need You to intervene in their life. I pray, God, that You would just touch and strengthen them. We do pray tonight that we would see very clearly once again about being a disciple and what it is and the importance of being a disciple. In Jesus' name, amen. What is a disciple? A disciple is one who is saved. In order to be a disciple of Christ, a follower, that's what disciple means. It just simply means a follower, and in this case, a follower of Jesus. A disciple, he must be or she must be saved. And I hope tonight that each of you know that you've been born again, that you've been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, you've been saved. I'm glad at the age of 6 years old I accepted Christ as my Savior, and I haven't regretted a day of it. Amen. And I'm thankful that I know I'm on my way to heaven. I'm so thankful that Jesus Christ gave His life for me. And then, number two, a disciple is one who is not only saved, but one who is separated. One who is separated. We spent a lot of time on this one last time, and that is 2 Corinthians chapter 6 says, come out from the world and be separate, saith the Lord. And this is an area in which a lot of Christians, most of us have some issues, that the world has a great hold on so many. And I'm talking about the world not talking about the ground we're walking on, I'm talking about the world system. And all that it has to offer, you know, fortune and fame and all those things that we get caught up in from time to time. And we need to remember that we're to be separated from the world and that Christians ought to look different, act different, smell different, talk different, and we ought to be different. Amen? By the way, if we're the same as everyone else in the world, why would they want to be like us anyway? Why would they want what we got if we're all like, if we're just like them? Amen? And so for today, for Christians to simply blend in with society, again, the salt has lost its savor. Christians are not being the light. We're not being the light that we should be. We're called by Jesus to be the light of the world. And that we ought to go out and be that testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. Which means there ought to be something different. And I don't understand this radical grace movement. You can look it up. You can read books on the radical grace movement. A movement that says basically that grace covers everything. And you can do what you want to as a Christian because grace covers it all. You know what? To a certain extent, I'm going to heaven. I guess I could do whatever I want, but that's not what I want to do. That's not what my new nature wants to do. Amen. Paul makes that very clear. Romans chapter 7, you can go read it, where Paul said there's a war within my members, a wanting to do right, a wanting to do wrong. And thank God it gives us the ability to do right, to live right and do right and be separated and be different. And we raise our children the same way. We raise them in such a way to be moral and upright and righteous and so forth. But listen, as Christians, we ought to be separated. We ought to live separated lives. It means the places we used to go, we don't go there anymore. It means as a Christian, I don't go to a bar. As a Christian, I don't go to a honky-tonk. As a Christian, I don't go to places where the world hangs out at. I don't go to those places. I don't go to... It's just unbelievable. They even have bars and churches now. It's unbelievable where some pastors will even justify those things and say, well, we're just trying to reach them. We're going to give them a beer and try to reach them. Oh, man. All right, I chased a little bit of a rabbit there, but man, separated lives that we believe in order to be a disciple, the Bible makes it very clear that we ought to live separated lives. Come out from the world to be separate. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And I could quote verse after verse that we ought to live separated lives. And as Christians, we ought to be separated. And let's go back to the Jesus. If he said, if anybody loves me, he'll keep my commandments. If you love the Lord Jesus, you'll keep his commandments. So let's reverse that. If you don't love the Lord, you won't keep his commandments. That's pretty tough, isn't it? Tough on all of us. A disciple is one who's saved. A disciple is one who's separated. And a disciple is one who is serving. One who is serving. One who is engaged in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. We quoted that verse in Psalm 100. Serve the Lord with gladness. And as Christians, we ought to serve the Lord. We ought to serve him. We ought to be involved in the service of the Lord. We ought to be about the Father's business, just as Jesus was. And we ought to be about winning people to Jesus and baptizing them and discipling them. We ought to be about his business. That's what the church's purpose is to win people to the Lord and to baptize them and disciple them. And so we ought to be about serving the Lord. Every member of Heritage ought to be serving the Lord somewhere in the church. Every member ought to be serving somewhere. And we can go back to Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12 and many other passages where the Bible speaks very, very, very clearly that each of us have been given gifts, each of us have been given talents that we can use for the Lord in his church. By the way, it's where our talents should be used, in the church, for the Lord, and so forth. So every disciple should be saved, every disciple must be saved, every disciple needs to live a separate life and be serving the Lord. That is a disciple. A disciple is one who denies himself, and Abraham denied himself and offered up his only son. Imagine that. I can't even imagine that. He denied himself. Matthew denied himself and left all and followed Jesus. And Peter, Andrew, James, and John denied themselves in Matthew chapter 4 and followed Jesus. Left all and followed him. I know this is a familiar passage, but let's just turn and read it. Turn to Galatians 2:20. I love Brother Jantz when he sings this song. Galatians 2:20, and we preached on this here a couple of years ago. Galatians 2:20. A disciple is one who denies himself. A disciple, in order to be a disciple, we must deny. You and I must deny ourselves. A disciple is one who is devoted to Jesus Christ. We see this in Deuteronomy chapter 10 and Matthew chapter 22. The Bible says that we should love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. This is the first and great commandment. Love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our might, with all our strength. We should love Him, be devoted to Him, and we should be devoted to Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I am to live the crucified life. I am to live the selfless life. I am to live the crucified life. Deny oneself and be devoted follower of Jesus Christ. As a disciple, I want to be a devoted follower of Jesus. I want to do what he says to do. I want to go where he says to go. I want to say what he wants to say. I want to be a devoted follower of Jesus. As a Christian, every Christian should desire to do that. Every Christian should desire to be a disciple. Amen? Why? He says there, because he gave his life for us. He gave all for us. He shed his blood for us in order that we might escape hell and have a home in heaven, in order that we might have an abundant life now. I'm so glad that I have a life now that I can enjoy. I'm so glad of that. And it's because of Jesus. What is a disciple? One who's saved, one who is separated, one who is serving the Lord, one who denies himself, one who is devoted to Jesus Christ, that is a disciple. What is a disciple's accountability? Well, there's several here. There's several. One of those is we're accountable to Jesus Christ. We're accountable to Him. We just read it a moment ago. He said, if anyone would be my disciple, there in Luke chapter 14, if anybody was going to be his disciple, they have to deny themselves. They have to take up the cross and follow him because we're accountable to him. Romans chapter 14. Lick your fingers because I want to turn to a few verses tonight. Romans chapter 14 and verse 12. The disciple is one who is accountable to Christ. We're accountable to him. Growing up in the home I grew up in, my dad, my mom, I was accountable to my dad and to my mom for everything that I did. I had to be accountable to them because my dad paid for the house that I lived in, and my dad provided the food on the table. My dad gave so much for me, and my mom gave so much for me, and I was accountable to them. Right? Jesus Christ gave his life for us. We are accountable to him. Hang on. He is the creator of the universe. We're accountable to him. We're accountable to him. Romans chapter 14, verse 12. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. One day we'll stand before him. 1 Corinthians says we'll give an account of our works, whether they be good or bad. We will stand before him one day. We will give an account. Now, I'm thankful for those of you who haven't heard this before, but I'm thankful when I get to heaven, I won't give an account for my sins. My sins have been washed away. My sins have been thrown as far as the east is from the west. When I get to heaven, unlike some of the things I learned in high school, a particular film that I watched, and that was at a particular youth rally one time, I'll never forget it. Big youth rally. Remember the old movies, you know, the reel-to-reel, you know, and they were showing this supposed to be the film, you know, for the youth to watch. And they were watching, and these youth died in a car wreck, and they went to heaven. And there in heaven, the big screen came down. And on this big screen was a list of all the things they'd done wrong, and da-da-da-da-da. No, that's not going to happen. No, my sins have been forgiven. Past, present, and future. You say, preacher, it's hard for me to wrap my head around that. It's hard for me to wrap my head around that. We're just finite. We don't get this infinite stuff. It's hard for us to understand that, which we've been studying on Wednesday nights. It's hard for us to understand that God lives in the ever-present time. And there's no past, present, future with God. So my sins have been forgiven, past, present, future. When I stand before God one day, I will not give an account for my sin. There's not going to be some scale up there and my good and bad are going to be weighed. No. My works will be judged. My works will be judged. What I have done for him. And I'm telling you, I believe, and this is justified and played out in the Scripture, that those works, whether they be good or bad, is going to be determined by our motivation for what we did, why we did it. In other words, did I stand up and sing because I want to bring glory to myself, or did I want to bring glory to God? If I stood up and I sang for the glory of God, I'll receive rewards for that. If I sang simply to get the glory for myself, then I'll get wood, hay, and stubble. Everyone with me? He said, if you get glory here among men, the Father which rewards openly will not reward him. Yeah, anyway, that's another whole message. One day, we will give an account to the Lord. We will stand at that judgment seat of Christ. There are two judgments. I read an article about this here lately, and how some churches have put this by the wayside and said there's only one judgment. Can I make it very clear? The Bible makes it clear. There are two judgments. For the Christian, there is the judgment seat of Christ. And when we are raptured out, when we are caught up at the trumpet, there will be a judgment take place for Christians. The Bema seat judgment, the judgment seat of Christ are the two terms for it. And we will stand before God and give an account for our works, whether they be good or bad. The works we did for God's glory and the works we did for His honor, those will be precious and rewards of precious stone. Those we did for our own glory, for our own honor, will be wood, hay, and stubble, and they'll be burned up. Amen. We're accountable to Him. Listen, we're accountable to how we raise our family. We're accountable how we direct the church. I'm accountable for the church. We're accountable. One day we will stand before God and give an account. And this don't have near the motivation it should for us. It really doesn't. For us, it's some cloud out there that's going to happen in some far future. But can I tell you, it could be today. It could be today. It should be, and it ought to be, a motivation to be a disciple of Jesus. That we could stand before Him. The trumpet could sound right now, and we could stand before Him right now. We need to walk worthy of the vocation where we've been called. We need to walk in love. We need to walk circumspectly. Ephesians. Disciples accountable. A disciple is accountable only to God but to his spiritual leaders. And let me tell you, I'm so thankful that there's some spiritual leaders in my life. I'm thankful for the Eddie Johnsons of the world. I'm thankful that I can go to a pastor who is older than myself and who has been like a Paul to me, and I can call him on the phone and say, "Hey, here." I still do it. I was, you know, probably every other month, me and Brother Johnson are on the phone. I'm saying, "Hey, here's something going on. What do you think?" I'm thankful I have a counselor in my life. I'm thankful for my dad, who I can still go to and get advice from. And I have a spiritual, not only my physical dad, but my spiritual leader as well. And I'm thankful that I can go to people like Brother Stewart and Brother Weatherby and Brother Dick Webster and even a couple of more. But I have four or five preacher friends who are older than myself who I can go to for advice. There's wisdom in a multitude of counselors. And that I am accountable to them. And I'm glad they make me accountable. Hello? I'm glad they'll actually tell me not what I want to hear, but they'll actually say what they want to say. Right? Amen. I don't need to hear what everybody just wants me to hear. I want to hear, what do you think? Right? Amen. And all of us have spiritual leaders in our lives, or should. It's the people that live on the island that get themselves in trouble. And Brother Wiggins and the rest of the preachers in here would testify that preachers who live on an island get themselves in trouble. We ought to be accountable to a spiritual leader, whether you're accountable to the pastor, you're accountable to your Sunday school teacher, accountable to the deacons in the church, being accountable to someone else, whether it could be as small as being accountable to your husband and to your wife for your Bible reading. Right? Being accountable. And that's found in, we're not going to read that, but there in Matthew. In matters of accountability, we should be reminded that we are not our own. It's pretty simple. I'm not my own. I've been bought by a price. Amen. Jesus Christ. That we are servants of Christ. And again, that we will be judged by Him. And the 2 Corinthians 5:10 is the verse where it talks about that we will receive rewards for those things which you've done, which will be good and bad. Well, we need to be careful. We'll be careful. A disciple is one who is saved and serving and separated. A disciple is one who has denied himself and is a devoted follower of Jesus. A disciple is one who is accountable to God and to the spiritual leaders in their life. And again, let me just quote Proverbs. It says, there is wisdom in a multitude of counselors. Don't live on an island. Be accountable to someone. When you are discouraged, be accountable to someone. When you're on the mountaintop, be accountable to someone. Be accountable to someone in your life. And what does a disciple do? A disciple is one who loves others. Loves others. And these are simple little snippets, but let's read a few of them. John chapter 13 and verse 34, the Bible says, "And a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." In other words, the way that mankind, the way the world out here tells whether or not we are truly Christians is that we have a love for each other. We love each other. I love my brother, even though he has 11 kids and one of them is here in the room. I love my brother. We have differences. We have differences not only in personalities. He's a little different than myself. Amen. I'm glad that I can whoop him physically. That's what matters. He's four years older than me. And so I'm thankful at the age of 16 that him and I finally duked it out and I beat him up. And the beatings were over because he used to beat me up. He used to beat me up all the time. It's sad. That's why I am the way I am today. A little jerking and stuff. But, you know, me and my brother have different personalities. Me and my brother have different views even in the area of ministry and other things. But, I love him. I love him. I love to spend time with him. I've enjoyed the last 3 days. It's been a little hectic, but I've enjoyed the last 3 days. I enjoy it. I enjoy that we can cut up. I can cut up with him, even though I cut up with Brother Mark and other people here in the church all the time, and I enjoy that. I'm glad I can be myself here. If I can't be myself, you can find somebody else. If you want a dignified pastor, I'm not your man. You know, just don't put me down on the list and mark a check beside it. But with my brother, boy, I can let my hair down even more, and just, it's so much fun, isn't it? With a brother or sister, you know how it is, most of you, right? Because I love him. We have differences. I still love him. We haven't always treated each other right. Still love him. By this shall all men know that I'm a disciple and have love for one for another. And we may have differences. In fact, I know we do. And we may have 35 different personalities in the room. I know we do. And all of us have quirks. Can I tell you? All of us have quirks. All of us. Everyone in this room has quirks. You just don't know your quirk. But the person next to you does. And most of them are nice enough not to tell you what it is. Listen, we're all a bunch of crazies, you know? Really. We all have that. And a lot of you have been around me a long, long time. You know my quirks. We're all different. But we ought to love one another. What's Proverbs talks about? Love hides a multitude of sins. Really. We just love each other. We just love each other. It's one of the signs that we are a true disciple. When we can get along with people who are maybe not the most gracious people in the world. Amen. By the way, everybody can love the lovable. Anybody can do that. It's what Jesus said. Right? It's the ones that are not so lovable that are hard to love. Right? Oh, look at you. All of y'all. You're engaged tonight. It's good. A disciple is one who loves others. A disciple is one who obeys the Word of God. Who obeys the Word of God. In John chapter 8, we speak, I'm going to turn over there since we're so close. John chapter 8 and verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if ye continue in My Word, then are ye My disciple indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You are My disciple when you what? Continue in the Word. A disciple is one who obeys the Word of God. We ought to read our Bibles and pray every day, and when the Bible contradicts our life, then we ought to line up with the Bible. We ought to obey the Word of God. John chapter 15, very familiar passage. We won't turn there, but the disciple also should bear fruit. Should bear fruit. And I think there are two fruits in which we as Christians should bear. One is the fruit of character. And yes, we ought to, again, be different. We have a new nature, and we ought to bear the fruit of character. We ought to also bear the fruit of souls. And that is, we ought to win others around us, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage again, revival meetings coming up. What a great opportunity to invite somebody to church, to tell somebody about Jesus. And we're looking forward here just in about a month to having soul winning kickoff. And we are going to push and just really encourage even in a greater way this time, the soul winning kickoff. And we're going to put track holders up in the foyers. Coming up here in a month or two, and really, again, encourage everyone. We as disciples should be telling others about Jesus. We should be bearing fruit. Bearing fruit. Amen. And as a Christian, one day you'll give an account for that. Bear fruit. A disciple is one who gives everything over to God. And I think, again, this is just about yielding to Him. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable service. Yeah. Reasonable service. And don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Listen, it is our reasonable service to present our bodies to Him. We ought to yield ourselves to Him. It's not even a sacrifice, it's reasonable, because of the sacrifice He made for us. And I know this is repetition for most of you. It's still true. It's in the book. That we as disciples should give everything to the Lord. And then as disciples, we should invest and wisely. I want to repeat something I repeated a few weeks ago, that as Christians, we ought to use our time, our talent, and our treasure and be good stewards of those things. That we ought to invest wisely. That we ought to invest in heavenly dividends and not earthly dividends. Doesn't mean you shouldn't have a retirement. I'm just saying the heavenly investment is far more important than the earthly investment. Because the earthly investment you're going to live with for a few years, but the heavenly investment you're going to live with for the rest of all eternity. That's a long, long time. And so we need to be wise in how we invest our monies and be giving and people to the works of the Lord. And I want to encourage you, as Christians, we're to tithe 10%. So the preacher needs to mention it every once in a while. 10%. You say, well, not in the summer, vacation time. No, in the summer too. There's not a, you know, you don't get a summer break from giving your tithe. A tithe is 10% before the government gets involved, and God will bless you for that. That's just what you owe to the Lord. That's just reasonable what you owe to Him. And then the offerings above that, however the Lord leads you. But being wise investors of God's resources. And the same thing with talent. If God's given you the ability to sing, you ought to be in the choir. One day you'll give an account for that. Listen to that again now. If God has given you a voice to sing, you ought to be in the choir. God's given you that talent and you ought to use it wisely. You'll give an account someday for that. We ought to use our treasure and our talent and our time. You know, it would be something to look back over the last few weeks and say, how much time did I really give to the Lord? Really, how much time did we really give to the Lord? This is actually the statement I made a few weeks ago was, I believe we can tell someone's spirituality simply by how they use their time, talent, and treasure. I've always said that you could take a guy's checkbook or a lady's checkbook and go back and look. We don't use checkbooks anymore. But if you were to use checkbooks, you go back and you look through it. It really tells a lot about a person. It really does. Where your love is. Amen? So got quiet. It got quiet when I taught this last time too. It really is. It's a good indication. Your pocketbook's a good indication of your spiritual walk with the Lord. Because our hearts are so tied to our money. We've got to be so careful. A disciple invests their time, their talent, their treasure wisely. A disciple involves a total man. God is interested in every area of our lives. Our body, our soul, and our spirit should be given over to the Lord. Are you a disciple of Jesus? Well, let me again encourage you. We ought to be disciples of the Lord Jesus. Why? Because we're saved. Because He gave us eternal life, shed His blood for us. Secondly, because one day we'll stand before Him and we'll give an account of our works, whether they be good or bad. We love Him. A new nature gives us a love for Jesus. A new nature, the new nature we received when we got saved gives us a want to do right. The new nature gives us a want to be a disciple. We ought to desire to be a disciple. I hope tonight that you are being a disciple. I really brought this back out and finished it because of what we learned at camp. At youth camp, you heard the various teenagers Sunday night talk about various messages that were preached. One of them that was touched on was the empty bag. Listen, everything in our life ought to be given over to the Lord. Everything. Everything ought to be given over to the Lord. We ought to be His disciple. And we ought to be an open book. We ought to be an open book as Christians. In other words, I shouldn't have any skeletons in the closet with my wife. There should be nothing that's hid from her. But not just from her, from anyone. Right? Nothing should be hid. Everything should be open. Listen, I just want to serve the Lord. I just want to love Him more. I want to be a disciple. Because one day I know I'm going to give an account for those things. A disciple of Jesus Christ. Let's all stand.